Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you don't leave us in ignorance, but that you have spoken. We thank you that you have made it clear who we are in Christ and what it is to live for Jesus in today's world. And we pray that you would help us now to come with humility before your word, that you might encourage us and strengthen us. For your name's sake, amen. Do sit down. Well, most of us might not have been aware of the fact, but a week last Friday was a big day at South Hunsley School. Now, it wasn't an Ofsted inspection. It wasn't an exam day. It wasn't a student achievement celebration. It was non-uniform day. Now, all other days, those aged 11 to 16 at South Hunsley have to adhere to a pretty strict dress code with very specific instructions. So, for example, girls must wear A-line knee-length skirts with no extreme styles, definitely not made from tight or stretchy fabric. And boys must wear formal classic smart trousers of waist height, not jeans or denim. Thin black belts are allowed, but definitely no big buckles. On the 13th of November, it was a non-uniform day because it was Children in Need Day, students were allowed not just to be restricted as they usually are, but they were allowed to wear virtually whatever they like. Now, perhaps surprisingly, some of the students find non-uniform day quite stressful. Normal days means that everyone wears the same. All wear the agreed clothes that are meant to unite and to communicate something of the ethos of the school. But on this day, big questions arise, which challenge the fragile teenager's sense of identity. What will others think of what I wear? Will I be judged for my fashion taste? What will what I can afford on designer labels reveal my financial circumstances? Well, like it or not, many feel that what we wear says something about us. Our wardrobe reveals something of who we are and what matters to us. Well, that observation about human experience is something that the Apostle Paul picks up on in chapter 3 of his letter to the Colossians, that letter that we've been learning from over recent weeks. Belonging to Jesus means that we have a new wardrobe to wear. We must put on a new set of qualities and characteristics fitting for Jesus' people. And to wear these beautiful new clothes means taking off old characteristics and behaviours that are unfitting for those who now belong to Jesus' kingdom of light. Well, do turn to the Bible, to Colossians chapter 3. It's page 1185. Now, this letter to the Colossians was written, as we've been learning, to counter false ideas that were penetrating the church community in this large Roman town. Some were saying to these believers that Jesus was not enough. They needed something extra to make them really spiritual, to make them truly free Christians. Some new spiritual experience should be sought. It was necessary, they said, to adhere to particular rules or techniques or practices. But Paul writes his letter to say to them, no, actually Jesus is enough. He is supreme and sufficient, and being united to him brings all that we need spiritually. So, last week in chapter 2, we saw that we mustn't, in the church community, contradict the undeserved grace of God in Jesus, who has done all that we need, by insisting on obligations beyond the Bible, or making unnecessary rules banning neutral things. Rather, we must continue in Christ, through whom God has made us alive and has forgiven us all our trespasses. Well, at the start of chapter 3 here, having emphasised that it is by grace that we are put right with God, we're reminded that those who have been rescued by God's grace, those who have received Jesus the King and are part of his rescued family, will live in a way that is fitting. We're not put right with God by living a good life. But having received God's mercy in Jesus, we are now free to live for him and reflect a life that is more like Jesus himself. So, chapter 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, I wonder if you noticed in those verses that the main events in the life and work of Jesus are mentioned. His death, his resurrection, his current reign at God the Father's side, and his return at the end of time as we know it, as the upcoming season of Advent will remind us. And what has happened and will happen to Jesus, we as his people, spiritually speaking, share in. You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God, says Paul, verse 3. You have been raised with Christ, so seek things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory. So we're united with and in Christ, in his rescuing death, in his resurrection, and in his return. And so we are to have a perspective centered on him, on things above, on a life that is headed for a renewed world that Jesus will bring. And that means that a life centered on the values and ethos of this broken world, things that are on the earth, can no longer be what influence and drive us. So we are a people with a guaranteed heavenly destiny. So we shall want to live appropriately. And that means there is a fitting way to live as rescued sinners and an unfitting way to live. And Paul uses, in this context, the idea of a wardrobe to make the point. A spiritual wardrobe. There are old, this-worldly, negative clothes to take off and new, heaven-anticipating, positive clothes to put on. Well, first of all then, let's consider those old clothes that need to be removed. Now, it is of course fairly obvious that if a new wardrobe is to be enjoyed, what you were wearing has to be taken off. Well, so it is spiritually. Verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. The old clothes, the behavior typical of the lifestyle of many of these Colossian Christians in the past, are no longer suitable. Here are characteristics fitting for people who are children of the broken world that has turned away from God and who are not interested in the rescue that God has begun in Jesus. They are, verse 5, what is earthly. These are characteristics with ideas and values shaped by a fallen world. Such conduct is influenced by these strange, evil elemental spirits of the world that have been mentioned before in Colossians, the rulers and authorities, the enemy of God and his allies. Now, clearly, such clothes are totally inappropriate for those who have died with Christ and been raised with Christ. Such clothes need to be removed or put to death, verse 5. It is true that those who are believers then must put them all away, verse 8. But what are these old clothes? Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, the word sexual immorality, it's just one word in the original, is the word porneia, from which we get our word pornography. And it's used throughout the Bible, including by Jesus, as we heard in Mark chapter 7, to describe all sexual practice outside the God-given context of a marriage between a man and a woman. Now, these Colossians, remember, they were believers who lived in a society where people were indulgent with their bodies, and sexual behaviours of all kinds were seen as appropriate and acceptable. Sound familiar? Well, these early Christians, like us today, need to be reminded that God has given sex to deepen the profound intimacy between a husband and a wife in a covenant agreement. And that's because God created marriage to reflect the covenant that he has made with his people. So any other sort of sexual activity from God's angle revealed in the Bible misunderstands, misuses, and misappropriates sex. And it's clearly not his purpose, however hard that is to say in a day and age like our own. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality. Impurity, passion, and evil desire should be put to death as well, the reading says. Those who have been made new in Christ, these things are just unfitting. These negative things seem to be connected to the word sexual immorality. So what seems to be in view here is behavior that is unclean to God, driven by cravings and lusts that are shameful and unclean. That seems that there's a reminder as we read these kinds of words that as Christ's new people, we need to be careful what we look at, what we read, where we go, what thoughts we dwell on and feed on. And then there is covetousness to be put to death, that strong desire to have more, to yearn for something that belongs to another, an attitude towards someone or something that can easily become a false god in itself. As verse 5 expresses it, put to death covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, this sort of behavior justly provokes God's just anger, we read in verse 6. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. One day when Jesus returns, there will be judgment for such conduct, unless we have sought refuge in Christ and received his mercy and forgiveness. Now, verse 8 lists other clothes that are to be put away, literally put off. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Now, these rather grisly characteristics, which need to be taken off, are about how we behave towards others. Selfish, angry outbursts of temper driven by irritability. The desire to see another harmed by our actions. Abuse of others through what we say with our mouths is to be put off. Slanderously damaging another's reputation, using offensive or abusive language, and telling lies. Now, putting off these old clothes is not just about putting in the effort to remove these attitudes and actions. We are also to recognize that this is what is appropriate now that we are in Christ. Verse 9, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. You see, God has done so much for us through Jesus. We have died spiritually with him and been raised to spiritual life because of his victory on the cross and his resurrection. We have, as chapter 1 has put it, been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son. We've been given new life. And this new life, applied by the Holy Spirit, means that we have new selves. And that means that God is at work in us to see his image, previously marred and damaged restored in us. Our prayers were very fitting, that we pray that God would indeed change us. That's his promise. And these things work out in the nitty-gritty, especially of relationships amongst one another within the church community. We are to put off these old fellowship-spoiling, relationship-damaging clothes and to remember the unity that has been given to us through Christ. A unity, whatever our temperamental, racial, religious, or economic background. Verse 11. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all. We are then to take off the old clothes, and then we shall be ready to put on the new clothes. So at last, we get the chance to see the new wardrobe, the qualities and virtues that are fitting for those made spiritually new through Jesus. Verse 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. As those who have been drawn to God through his undeserved mercy, who are being made more like Jesus, who are loved so much by him, we are to put on the very best sort of clothes. Putting on compassionate hearts. That is to think and feel yourself into another person's shoes and to treat them well, even if they might not deserve it. Kindness, being generous and ready to help. Humility, not pushing yourself forward or always looking inwards, but rather looking outwards to others. Meekness, not insisting on your own rights, but looking to the welfare of others. And patience. Here, the context seems to be putting up with others, even when they're annoying or exasperating. And all this works out in bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Now, these characteristics that we are to be clothed in as believers in Jesus reflect him in so many ways. They are Jesus' wardrobe, the one who answered the cries of people in his day for mercy, the one who patiently gave people time, the one who did not come to be served but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, forgiving the undeserving. Now, we've already seen some then of these great new clothes. But we read on verse 14, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. The greatest virtue of all is love, the supreme characteristic of God himself. That is, looking to the interests and benefits of others and not just to yourself. Now, this great garment which Christians are to put on above all holds together the Christian fellowship. For these new clothes are for those who share a life together in some way, a life with others who dress in the same way. So these beautiful clothes should be a sort of church family uniform, if you like. Not in the sense of being boringly unimaginative and without diversity, but rather in that a uniform is chosen so often to link people, to identify people, and to help establish the ethos of a community. So those who have been loved by God through Jesus and all that he has done for us We want to show love to one another. And this connects too with verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. See, Christ has won us peace with God through his death that has paid for our debts and rescued us from our sins. And that peace with God should lead to peace with our fellow forgiven sinners in the body of Christ, the church. The peace of Christ should be what rules or decides when there are conflicts and tensions amongst us. We should thankfully work for peace with one another when that peace is under threat for whatever reason. Well, as the students of South Hunsley School seem to appreciate, what we wear says something about us. And that is clearly true for Christian believers. Not the physical clothes from the wardrobes in our houses, but the spiritual clothing from God's spiritual wardrobe. Those who have been made alive through Jesus, forgiven their sins, and in whom God is at work to restore his image, are to put off the clothing suitable to a life based on this world's values: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire and covetousness, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. And instead, to put on clothing fitted for those made new by God's grace and bound for a new creation. Put on then, as God's chosen people, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are all challenged as we read these words this morning. We know our lives often fall short. And we thank you for the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, the forgiveness of sins. And we ask for your forgiveness today where we failed you. And we pray for the strength of your Spirit, that we might be individuals and families and a people here who are dressed in your spiritual clothes. Father, we pray, above all, give us love, that we might bring praise to Christ and others might recognize his reality. And we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.